Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And this is the fifth Tuesday special event with special edition of the I was going to say the Rock Bottom. What's up with that? But the Bottom Line, starring Mitch Spean. I bet you like Rock Bottom better, especially during happy hours.
Absolutely.
Well, really? You go there?
No, but I like it.
The Rock Bottom. Who's here been to the Rock Bottom before? Anyone?
I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who was I? Okay, we'll introduce you in a second. Anyway, we have an incredible show, Mitch, lined up, and thanks to you, because you get the credit for lining this show up with an amazing panel. I mean, we have a tax attorney, we have two bankers, and a pension consultant, and two CPAs. Guys, where do you find all this high-powered brain power in one room? I don't think you ever see it.
Right here.
Yeah, that's right. Right here on what? KXXT 1010 AM. Okay. Anyway, this is going to be exciting because year end is approaching and everyone needs to have some year end planning. You notice I didn't say tax planning because it's incorporated in year end planning because there might be debt planning, there might be financial planning. There's a whole assortment of things, but let's get started and introduce some of the guests or all the guests that we have today. A 2-hour special. The Bottom Line, and of course, that's first Tuesday of every month. Mitch, you're on next week, too.
Yes, I am.
You just like being a star, don't you?
And you help so much.
Oh, thank you so much. Anyway, so this is great, because and I'm not going to do this in any particular order. However, the best tax attorney, best law firm I've ever seen, Jim Hyten, welcome again. You've been on the show many times.
Thank you. Yes, I have.
And you're blushing. But it's true.
Doesn't that work so well for radio?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah, I had to do a play-by-play. But it's really exciting to have you here because your knowledge and your service level is no one can match it. It's just that simple.
Well, thank you. That's kind of what the firm is built around, and we try to give the best service and, you know, at the reasonable price.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And you're growing in a time when a lot of companies are not. You guys have it all. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
Yes, we have been adding people because we really do believe that the economy will pick up and that we want to cover other specialties. So we have grown quite a bit in the last 18 months.
Which is really exciting. And, of course, you're from Ragnauer, Hyten, and Lewis. I have one question. How did you get the second name on the billing?
I don't know. It just kind of showed up one day.
That's pretty good. See, I get to deal with the main guy. I'm always excited about that. But they really, truly are a great firm. And so we're going to talk about a lot of good planning, estate, maybe tax planning, a lot of business planning, too. I didn't even mention that. That's really important, too, you know, just the business aspects of it. Now, from National Bank of Arizona, and in this corner, we have Barry McGraw. Welcome, Barry.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. So National Bank of Arizona, of course, you brought someone with you, or maybe vice versa. I'm not sure which one it is. Earl Stringfellow.
Yes, so thank you for having me.
Oh,
also.
You probably got to move that microphone back and forth. We got a full house here today.
Got it there. Well, yeah, thank you for having us here today. National Bank's very excited about being a part of it.
Well, this is very good. You're both vice presidents, so I didn't know who brought who.
Earl bought me.
Okay, that's very good. It sounds like you said he bought you, not brought. Okay, this is not a high-stakes poker game, but maybe. You know, if we ran out of things to say, what do you say? I think that would be fun. Anyway, National Bank of Arizona, talk a little bit about your bank.
National Bank of Arizona started primarily as a business bank entity 28 years ago in the Tucson area. And As they grew, there was a need for more community-type banking and more personalized service. And if the last 3 years have shown anything, it's that people were getting a little bit frustrated with having their needs met, the personalized service that we saw a few decades ago. And we've really reached out and to make a fine point of it, we don't incorporate an 800 number. If you need something from a branch at National Bank of Arizona, you pick up your 602-623-480, And one of our staff is going to pick up the phone, find out what your needs are, and address them. If not right there on the phone, we're going to give you an exact time when we're going to get back to you when we get your answers.
So that's good, because I've called banks before, and what happens is you get a customer service number somewhere, and they go like, press 1 if you want to speak to someone, press 2 if you want to hold, press 3 if you're tired of being on hold. I mean, it's craziness. Have you ever had that experience?
Well, yeah. We haven't forgot the fact that we as employees are also consumers. So we go through the same challenges you do when dealing with outside agencies. And the staff at National Bank, we go through training on exactly how to appreciate the customer's needs, put yourself in their shoes. And while it may on paper not appear to be critical to you, it's critical to them. It's their money, and we appreciate that.
Wow, that's good. I have to look into your bank, because that sounds like it's very customer friendly. Let's put it that way.
Over the top, crystal friendly, and we—that is our main focus.
Part of the reason why we are banking with them at this point too.
Wow!
Thank you. We appreciate
testimonial. That. Nice. Okay, that's very cool. Let's talk a little bit to Earl. Of course, you've been at National Bank, what, about 4 years?
It's been about 4 years now.
But 14 years experience.
Yes, I came from some of the bigger banks out there. And again, to reiterate what Barry said, being a part of the community bank is a little bit different.
Yeah. Do you like it better?
Oh, I love it. I love it. We get to know our customers on a one-on-one basis, get to spend time with them, and get to know what they do and their businesses.
See, that's the way to go.
And even sometimes get on the radio.
Absolutely.
Wow, there's a perk. Wow, a benefit. Well, that's very good. I think people like that. Technology is good. However, sometimes it really slows up the process. It's certainly impersonal, and people want that, the FaceTime. They want to know there's a relationship.
Absolutely.
So I think that's good. And, of course, a returning, what do we call you, a veteran?
Yes.
A returning person.
That's true.
And a returning amazing person that's been on the show before, a pension consultant, Susan Hayek. And welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
This is great. And tell us a little bit about you. You do a lot of pension consulting, which is very important when it comes to year-end planning.
You are correct, absolutely. In the qualified plan arena, most people, it's almost become synonymous with the word 401k. However, there are different types of retirement plans that people can establish. And if you've already got a qualified retirement plan, now is definitely the time of the year to make some changes. If you're considering changes, it's time to look at amendments. If you're looking at potential contributions, it's a good time to work with your CPA and your pension consultant to go ahead and determine what might work for the company in that particular year based on contribution limits. And they do change every year. Got the new ones for 2012 a couple weeks ago, and they are a little different. But that's the exciting part about qualified retirement plans.
Wow. I didn't think anyone can make that exciting. You just did.
Great.
That is very cool. So, and of course, also on our panel, Mr. Mitchell Spean, how are you?
I'm doing okay. The nice thing is I've got a little bit of backup as a CPA.
Yes, you do. Where? Oh, I got your back, don't I? Okay. And you're referring to one of the two best CPAs you know.
Exactly.
Okay, that's good. And that's true. I am a CPA as well. And, we have fun together,
remember,
don't we?
Remember, confident professional advice.
Yeah, that's right. Did you ever know that's what it means? Other than cleaning, pressing, and alterations?
Yes.
Alterations, that's a bad word, right? Can't say alterations in context of CPA. That would be really bad. Lucky I didn't say it. Now, thank you all for coming, because for businesses, individuals, this is valuable. I mean, there's still time to plan. It's about a month away for the year end. So I think this is going to be a great show in terms of getting different perspectives, where to plan, what to plan. And from a banker, tax attorney, pension consultant, and a CPA, I'll tell you, if people want to call in, we won't even bill you. This would be like, what, $2,700 an hour or something, of which Mitch and I would only account for 10% of that, probably, or 5%. But I think this is a great opportunity. I'll give the number out in case you do have questions, 602-296-3632, 602-296-3632. Now, I want to start with a very important question, really, and it's really the importance of having a team when planning. you know, attorney, a CPA, banker, pension consultant, because there's a lot of elements. We're not specialists, experts in every area. And one thing that I, as a professional, always really aware of is that I know what I know, but I know what I don't know. And it's important to understand that. Who wants to start with that? Barry?
Yeah, it's very important to have a good team in place. And even in the banking industry, some people are taken aback sometimes when they're chatting with us. And the first thing that comes out of our mouth is, here's the information we can provide. Check with your tax attorney to make sure this is right for you, because you don't know their whole situation. And unless you put all the elements of that team in place, just like if you can't run a car unless all the parts of the motor are running, something will go wrong, and it'll come back to haunt you unless you check with your tax attorney to make sure it works for your situation in that tax year. And I'm sure Jim can reiterate how fast things change. So don't take it upon yourself to learn this stuff. Get somebody with the experience like Jim has.
You know, before we go to you, Jim, it was interesting what you just said early in the in what you were talking about. You said, make sure this is right for you. It reminded me of a commercial, a little purple pill. Yeah. Anyway, okay, so Jim. No, really, it did. Okay, Jim, I mean, you work with a lot of bankers, and tell us how that works, really.
Well, I learned a long time ago in my career that the team approach works a lot better. We try to get our clients in the last quarter of the year to come in and, meet with us. We get the CPA. We get their banker. We get the pension consultant, and try and sit down and see, where are they? What do they need to do? What has to be done before the end of the year? And so we don't try to do it all ourselves, because there are just so many things going on in different businesses. And again, it's helpful to have everybody looking at it, because you get different perspectives. And some businesses are so unique that you have to have that, because, like, take a construction business that does bonding work, that is bonded. I mean, you might look at them and say, well, they've got a bunch of profit. We need to put a bunch of their money in a pension plan and deduct it. On the other hand, they may need to keep money in the company for bonding purposes. And so there's just a lot of trade-offs that you got to get everybody in the room to be able to talk about them.
That's a really good point. So, you know, and that's why the team approach is important. You just don't want to focus on your own slice of the pie, you know, what you can help people with. I think that's really important. Now, Earl, as a banker, what are some of the important year-end planning things that you will do for clients suggest?
Excuse me. Well, it's actually a number of different things that we do as a bank, whether that's looking at their current portfolios that they have with the banks. In addition to that, we try to get, like Jim and Barry said before, their teams together to try to find out what's best for them. We have a lot of different options out there for savings going into a new year. But in addition to that, some of the things that the banks have been focusing on is helping consumers get out of debt. And in this particular economy that we're in, debt is a big issue. And from a banker's point of view, rather than to get you into further debt, we're trying to help you get out of it. So that's kind of what we focus on with some of our clients over at National.
And I would think in this economy, that's huge. And there's also tax ramifications. And I think we'll take a quick break now. And when we come back from our break, we're going to focus on the word debt and what that means from a banker's perspective, a tax attorney's perspective, a pension consultant's perspective, as well as a CPA perspective. There's a lot of ways you can look at this. But the main thing is, how do you get out of it, and how do you minimize any potential tax consequences? And we'll be right back.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl.com. bizdev-law.com.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now and then uses her own unique 7 steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business. 602-750-4518.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Fifth Tuesday special event with special edition of The Bottom Line, starring Mitch Spien. Do you like being the star, Mitch?
You know, as long as it doesn't hurt, we're good.
Okay, well, I don't know what commercial that is, but I'm not going to say.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is really a great panel just for listeners just joining us. We have Jim Heighton from Ragnar Heighton and Lewis, a great tax attorney. Of course, we have from National Bank of Arizona, Earl Stringfellow, as well as Barry McGraw. And we have Susan Hayek, a pension consultant. I'm Dave Isaac. Mitch Spien is here, two CPAs. They're telling us to leave. Okay, now, let's. We were talking about debt and how important that is. Let's get Jim Heighton and Mitch involved in this debt. When you hear the word debt with clients, and especially if it has to do with foreclosure, short sales, there could be some tax issues. Who wants to chime in on that? All right. Okay, Mitch, I guess it's your turn.
All right. When you're talking about debt, the biggest thing that you've got to – there are a lot of tax consequences when it comes to the cancellation of debt and the foreclosures, et cetera. You know, one of the biggest issues that I've seen is the fact that you've got two transactions involved. You've got the actual cancellation of debt, and then you've got the sale or disposal, I should say, of the property. So you've got to look at it, and one of those is going to be ordinary income. One of them is going to be capital gains treatment. So it doesn't necessarily offset one another, and that's one of the biggest things that people just don't realize. You could get yourself in a huge amount of trouble tax-wise if you don't know up front what the differences are. In addition, we've got the state rules which could affect the federal tax returns when you're talking about whether it's recourse or non-recourse debt.
You know, which is interesting because, Jim, you and I have talked about this forever about anti-deficiency rules, and we got two bankers here.
Right.
Shall we really interrogate them right now, right here on KXXT 1010? Now, it's been an interesting discussion, right, Jim,
yes.
About how this works. Now, as bankers, have you had many foreclosures or short sales? Do you do a lot of residential stuff or even commercial?
Well, you know, as managers in the bank, they don't really share that information with us. But in our bank in particular, you know, we're a bit smaller than the giants. So we don't have those toxic assets in the billions of dollars that other people are struggling with now, some of our giant competitors. But, yeah, we had, you know, a small amount, our share, but proportionally, you know, we learned from, you know, those few maybe errors in judgment. And, you know, we don't put people in a situation where they haven't proven 100% their ability to repay it. We weren't desperate to make up huge amounts of money. So it was a bump in the road, but we're doing fine.
Wow, I give a lot of credit to you guys. Unlike many other banks or mortgage brokers, right, Jim? I mean, people are getting loans left and right, and look what happened.
Sure. I mean, a lot of loans are being made with no income verification, different things that were going on in the industry that were just putting people at real risk. So,
yeah, there's no doubt. Earl.
Well, I just wanted to chime in, too. You know, one of the models at National Bank is that we are Arizona. And one of the things that we've done, we did none of the subprime lending. So a lot of the foreclosures that you're seeing out there, they weren't any of the products that we offered. We were extremely conservative in that time, which now we're definitely reaping the benefits of being that conservative. So understanding that we know the economy of Arizona and how things are working in our local economy kind of prevented some of that from happening.
So that's good. I mean, that to me is like high level of integrity and really looking out for the consumer, too, because why give a loan to someone that really can't pay it back?
Well, yeah, that's a great point. And if you look at it logistically, it's not going to benefit us if we put somebody in a situation where short term we're going to gain, but in the long term, if that person fails, they're going to share that story and how their failure came about, and it's going to have our name attached to it. So with thoughtful, ahead of time thinking, we've really dodged that bullet. And we counsel people before we put them in anything and even suggest, like, well, have you thought about when the kids do get older, what you want to do? Or do you already have an estate planned up, which brings the partners back into it? And you have to think long term, because what might seem attractive short term could spell real trouble from a tax perspective, from an estate planning perspective long term. So it's thoughtful.
You know, that's a good point. And, Mitch, you have, a question for Susan.
Yeah, with all these foreclosures and everything else that's going on, what pension assets would be at risk if somebody has pensions out there? What assets might be at risk if they truly do foreclose on or want to try and collect on these debts?
Well, you know, it depends here if you're talking about qualified retirement plan assets versus individual plan assets. And I know a lot of states have different laws in which it used to be a long time ago that IRA, individual retirement accounts, could be attached to debts that you owed. And I do know that there are a lot of states that have changed their laws. But qualified retirement plan assets, those that exist in a qualified defined benefit plan, a cash balance plan, a 401k plan, which is what most people get at their work environment now, they cannot be attached to debt in that respect. So in a sense, it's almost like a safe haven where if something unfortunate like that does happen to you, bankruptcy issues, foreclosure issues, or extreme debt issues where collectors are trying to go after money that you have, those assets are actually protected from the standpoint of they'll remain yours. And I know a lot of people hear that adage, the savings rate for retirement of most Americans is not enough for them to actually retire in what they think is a qualified retirement date by 62 or 65. I mean, the numbers change on almost a daily basis when you read articles. But the one thing that seems to resonate in every article or any program that you see on television is the one thing, and I know we're going to talk a little bit about debt, is that you can't borrow for your retirement. You know, there are things you can borrow for, and obviously you want to borrow responsibly. You know, you can get a mortgage for a home. You can borrow money to finance a business. You can borrow money to send your children to college. But nobody's going to let you borrow money at 65 so that you can fund your trip to Ireland or live well in retirement without working. And so obviously I'm very passionate about making sure you contribute in any way, shape that you can to a qualified retirement plan while you're working.
And that makes a lot of sense. Earl, you have – no? Okay.
I was just going to say that the other thing about debt that's important, and I picked up on this one is in Barry's comment, is that they counsel with people in terms of when they make loans and put them into different debt instruments. That's what the good banks do, is they talk to their businesses, their clients, especially operational businesses. I've sat in meetings where we've talked about the debt that they have and some additional financing they need to do or equipment purchases or things like that. And somebody will pipe up and say, well, instead of getting an equipment loan, why don't you just lease it? You know, that, you know, that's not, it's off balance sheet, but it's still cash out of the company. And a good banks will sit there and say, yeah, that's maybe off balance sheet, but it's still cash coming out of the company that you have to pay, and if you don't, you default. And I know that the on-balance sheet and off-balance sheet debt financing has been a big issue ever since NREN. I know the CPA community has had to deal a lot with that in terms of how they report it.
That's a really good point. Earl or Barry, any comments on what you would talk about as you point fingers at each other? Because you probably get that question a bunch of times, right? Lease versus purchase and what would be in the
Yeah, we
interest?
Get it. And that's a pretty thorough discussion. Especially now, we would hope that the general public is informed enough to know that it's just not in your best interest to come into the bank and pencil in 10 minutes and be out
yeah,
the door.
That makes sense.
You know, do your homework first. And, you know, even things as simple, you would think people would understand it, and we run into situations where they don't, that if you're co-signing for Junior's car and Junior misses a couple of payments, that affects you. I'm always astounded by folks saying, well, that's not mine. That was my son's car. And, you know, and then you have to have the conversation. Well, you know, the bank covers its risk by getting you to back up if Junior misses the payment. And, you know, little things like that. And Earl and I were speaking earlier. If you have somebody at your desk and you're explaining to them, well, this might not work because it's really creeping your debt ratio up a little bit. And the husband looks at the wife and says, well, we've been considering getting rid of the movie channels. Well, if your financial well-being is hinging on whether or not you have HBO or not, it's really time to think about some life changes. So, yeah, it's planning on your part as well as ours.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And do you think we'll go around the panel and ask this question, then we'll take a break in a couple minutes. But should more people, consumers, and businesses look at how banks look at qualification for loans? I don't think a lot of clients really understand it or look at it from financial ratio. What are some of the key ratios? Who wants to, either Earl or Barry, want to comment on some of the key ratios that people should look at and do some really planning in terms of when to get a loan if you're not in position, and what would you recommend?
Well, I think for getting a general mortgage loan or some type of consumer loan, some of the things that the banks normally look at is regular 2 years of employment, because they're going to ask for the last 2 years' tax returns. As far as ratios, we look at debt-to-income ratios, normally 45% and below. And, of course, some of the consumer lending out there, we have different instruments that would allow you to lower your debt-to-income ratio using some of the different products that we have to pay off some of the consumer debt. When we consider debt-to-income ratio, most of that we're seeing out there is consumer debt. So that's, we're attempting to help you to remove that. Other ratios, credit score is really kind of hard to say, to be honest with you. Credit score can be, you know, from 0 to 850, and just depending on how your credit score looks and your credit report looks would determine how the credit score is. So there's no real magic around how the credit score works.
Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, I'd like to add one thing that's confusing a lot of people, and quite frankly, I was a little surprised when I started running into it. Obviously, there was some very well-intentioned people that tried to make some money in the 2000s with the, you know, secondary home purchases and buying and selling homes. And some of those people ended up getting that foreclosure. They couldn't pay it when the rate readjusted. And what I'm seeing is we're still getting scores on those people above 700 in the high 600s. Don't be fooled by that. They're really focusing in on that foreclosure. It happened. It's real. And your score in and of itself is going to be put secondary to the fact that you may have been paying your debt perfectly for 30 years. You had this one bump and everything's great in the last 4 years. Banks are still looking at that one foreclosure. So that's something you really want to address. And don't think because, well, millions of other people are doing it, I'll be okay. You won't. Risk is black and white.
And in this time, you know, day and age, foreclosures are, you know, all over the place, short sales. And I think, isn't there a waiting period for if you have a foreclosure or short sale that you can't get a loan? Or I thought I heard something about that from – no, maybe not. So that's good news then for some of the people that have unfortunately been foreclosed because let me ask you this, and then we'll go on a break. A quick question is do you see foreclosures and short sales on the increase in the next couple of years, or do you think we've hit bottom? Who wants to take that one?
I can't even comment on it. I have no idea.
Okay. Anyone? How about you, Mitch?
I think there's still a little ways to go.
So you don't think it hit bottom yet?
Not quite. People still own houses.
That's true. Jim, you've seen it.
I would agree with Mitch. I think it's probably got a little ways to go, and then hopefully we're going to see the end of it.
Yeah, let's hope so. This has been a tough one. Anyone remember the 1980s when interest rates went way up, 21%? Jim, you remember? And oh, it's me and you, Jim. What's up with
that's
that?
Right.
Oh, you were okay. All right, Barry and Earl's leaving. Okay, now, but yeah, that you know, this seems worse, doesn't it? The economy. I think things were still happening there, even though rates were going. But this seems like the worst I've seen.
It's interesting to talk to people who have gone through both the late 1980s and this recession, is that someone will say the same thing, that they think the last one was worse because it took down the entire S&L industry. You know, almost every S&L was wiped out in the late 1980s.
Yeah, that's right.
But again, this one feels worse because it seems like it's been so widespread. It's not just real estate. It's business. It's consumers. It's everybody's been touched by it. So.
But retail sales, Barry got...
Well, I was just going to say, I think the big difference between the one in the 80s and the one now is white collar was much more affected this time than it was in the 80s. And, you know, for better or for worse, I don't know if it's a poor testament in our society, but a lot more attention was brought in when the suits started taking the hits and that spread out through the whole economy from, the landscapers up to the guy that owns the beautiful home. So it is different in that sense.
And this time it wasn't a commercial, you said, but for better or worse, it reminded me of marriage. I'm going to go with the worst. But anyway, let's take a quick break now. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion on planning. There's nothing like planning. So many people do planning, but they forget to implement it. I don't know why, but it just seems like a waste of time. If you plan and you don't follow through, what good is it? And we'll be right back.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hi, I'm Paul and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
And online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Fifth Tuesday special event with a special edition of The Bottom Line starring Mitchell Spean. Do you like Mitchell or Mitch?
I like myself very much, thank you.
Okay.
The name would work either way.
Either way, it does work. Anyway, we've been talking a lot. We wanted to do a clarification on the debt-to-income ratio. 45% is with the loan incorporated into it. So that's important if people are looking for mortgages, very, very important. Now, I did have a question. Actually, before I ask the question, I found out a lot of people were football fans here on the break. And how excited, Susan, were you that – oh, wait, you said Detroit. Well, you weren't that excited
over
Thanksgiving.
No, they lost Thursday.
Yeah.
But then again, it was Green Bay.
Yeah. And in my prediction now, Green Bay all the way. Really? I don't see who can I'm a poet.
I think you're
really?
Right.
Barry, you don't think so?
No, I think they are. I don't think anyone's going to touch Green Bay this year.
Oh, no one heard that, though. Okay, there it is.
No one's going to touch Green Bay this year.
I agree. I don't know who. Jim, are you a football fan?
A little bit.
You followed Green Bay?
A little bit, yeah. I just know that it's probably not going to be the Cardinals' year this year. So.
They did win. That was amazing. Patrick Peterson.
They won on Sunday.
Yeah, they did.
I was there.
They beat the last place team. But anyway. Oh, you were there?
Yeah. I'm from St. Louis originally.
You were in St. Louis watching that game?
Yes, I was.
Who were you rooting for?
It's a tough call, but I will always be a Cardinal fan because they were originally the St. Louis Cardinals. Right. And we used to go to all the football games there, so I follow them, too.
So you saw when Kurt Warner played there?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Yep.
Boy, do they miss him. Man.
They do. St. Louis loves him. They still love him.
Yeah.
We
love him. He put his house up for sale for some reason.
Here?
Yeah.
Really?
I think so.
Did he?
Yeah, I don't know why. Whoa, is he moving?
We forgot a real estate expert.
Yeah. Well, that's what we needed. Okay, and enough of sports. You can hear that tomorrow or Friday on our sports show. Anyway, let's talk. I have a question on what's the most common question you're getting right now for year-end planning? Let's start with Jim. Are you getting like a certain theme going on? What are some of the questions you're getting?
Well, probably the main question I get is people ask me, well, what's going to happen with the tax law? I mean,
that's a good point.
It's kind of like they hear what, you know, the super committee is going to do something, and then the super committee didn't do anything. And then they're asking, well, are the tax rates going to change? Is the mortgage interest deduction going to get repealed? Charitable contribution? You know, all those questions about what's happening in Washington, D.C. And frankly, I just have to tell them, I don't know. I mean, you know, nobody knows what goes on back there, frankly. So we're all just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen. I think. You know, we kind of know between this year and next year that, you know, things are somewhat set. So that question, I get a lot of questions in Susan's area about, you know, retirement plans, especially for people that are getting close to retirement. They're finally getting serious about it. And so the kind of question about, you know, when you put the plan in, how much you can contribute, all the testing that has to be done with bigger employers. So, you know, there's a lot of those types of questions.
That's really good questions, but it's very difficult. It's like a moving target, the tax law. And I remember some days, you know, in the old days, and Jim, you probably remember this, where they would retroactively go back after you did your planning. How fair is that, Jim? Yeah, it doesn't seem fair.
It's not. And you know, that's the thing that everybody worries about is that they're going to do something and then Congress will enact a law, make it retroactive, and there's nothing you can do.
It's amazing, and the super committee wasn't so super, were they?
No.
I don't think they did anything.
No, they couldn't make an agreement. So, you know, now they go to the default where they're going to have automatic cuts. But, again, that doesn't affect the tax law, and so, you know, because that's not part of that default. So the question's going to be is, you know, in the next year or so, what's going to happen, especially when they start talking about reforming the tax code, which is – you know, that's kind of code for as long as they reform it for you, it's okay, but not for me.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's a good point. You know, what's interesting is maybe this is a little political, but if a privately owned business formed a super committee to make things better and enhance the business, and they had, you know, a couple months to do that, and you paid them big dollars, and they came out with nothing, what would you guys do? Who wants to start? Susan, what would you do?
I'd want my money back if I already paid them.
I mean, it's really amazing, isn't it? I mean, how about Earl? What would you do?
I mean, at that point, like Susan said, I would ask for my money back and definitely start looking for other help.
Yeah. Barry?
You know, I try not to get riled up because you're not going to – if the government makes a decision, you're not going to win, and why get frustrated? What I counsel people when they come in with questions like that is don't get all riled up watching the news. Look at your own house, get that in order, and see what works best for you with what's available.
And I agree with Barry. That's what we counsel people after we get through the discussion about what's going to happen with the tax law and the future and everything. We basically just say, look at what's in front of you today. Let's plan on what we can control today. And then tomorrow is something we'll have to look at down the road.
You know, that's a really good point. That's great advice, I think. In fact, you know, we've had Kevin Guy on, well, actually every week, general manager, head coach of the Arizona Rattlers on our sports show. And he says the same thing. When we ask him about, hey, you know, who you're going to play next week or whatever, they go, we can only do what we can control. And if we execute and perform the way we're capable of and we're just worried about our own team, things will usually come out well. That's great advice, you guys. Wow. You didn't know your coaching material. Okay. We're being a coach. Susan, what are some of the most important questions or common questions you're getting for year-end planning?
Well, at this time of the year, going along with what Jim had said, you get a lot of people that are, if they had not already started a retirement planning strategy and they're a little bit older, maybe they were putting all their money in their business as it was growing, they're now looking, you know, the big question is, how much can I put in? You know, what's the maximum? And usually once you get a pension consultant involved and they do those calculations, sometimes you can scale that back. You've got a range. But then the next question is, well, when do I have to set up the plan and when do I have to actually put the money in? Because there are some, depending upon the plan type, you know, usually the plan has to be established by the plan year end or the fiscal year end of the corporation or entity. And then the funding usually will have to occur by the tax filing deadline, including extensions for some entities and for some plans, and then for others, it's got to be by the tax deadline, depending upon the plan type. Now, some of the other questions that I do get as well is, you know, anymore it's Roth or no Roth. And what a lot of people don't know is that a lot of 401k plans after the Pension Protection Act of 2006, they now can have a Roth provision in the 401k plan. And a lot of employers, when they amended their plans as required last year, in 2010, they invoked the fact that that is one of the provisions of the plan. So as a participant in the plan, you could put in Roth contributions to your 401k or tax-deferred contributions as well. And so I get a lot of questions from people that say, well, which one should I do? And in reality, you can do both or a combination of both. And there really are, again, you go back to the individual. What are your individual needs? What are you planning on? And then they'll ask, well, but what if the tax laws change and they take it away? Because that is something that's on the table, taking away the retirement deductions. Like, hey, we're not going to give deductions anymore. We're going to lower them back to like $4,000 or $5,000 like they were 15 years ago. And I can't control that. I don't know if it's going to happen. And so we say what we know is what we know today. So plan for today along with planning for your future and take your own personal situation into consideration.
And stay on top of everything by, being involved with your professionals.
That whole team approach.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
Really is the best way to go.
No doubt. Now, Mitch, common questions you're hearing from clients regarding year-end planning.
I don't have common questions. I get questions like, do I have to have a place of business in Canada to do business in Canada?
Oh, or the common question, Jim, you and I have talked about is like, well, I'll set up my business in Nevada so I can not pay state taxes.
Right, right.
That always gets me. It's like, and there's actually people advising people to do that. I go, are you kidding me? California's all over that, by the way.
Is that right?
They are not happy about that. And I bet Arizona is too. I mean, that's like silly.
That's crazy.
You guys have heard of that? I mean, it's craziness. Go ahead, Mitch. Oh.
Susan. Oh, no, I was just going to say, no, please elaborate because I find this interesting.
Oh, go ahead, Mitch. Well, what happens, or do you want to go ahead? Okay.
Go ahead.
I mean, basically, is they believe if they establish some type of business and it's located in a state like Nevada where there's no state tax, that they don't have to pay Arizona state tax. But it really goes to residency, right, Jim? I mean, it really does.
It really goes to the source, the state source of the income. I mean, if you've got a Nevada company but your place of business is in Arizona and you derive all your income from Arizona, I guarantee you the Arizona Department of Revenue wants to talk to you about your taxes.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And go ahead, Barry.
I mean, it's just like – you know, with children, if you feel like you're getting away with something, it's probably something that can get you in trouble. So, you know, if you think it's wrong, it probably is. And that's when you really need to reach out. Now, to go back to, you know, we were talking about stay in touch. If you have the right relationship with your tax attorney, your banker, your say, when you have these changes, especially if they're going to affect people, the responsible people are going to reach out to you and say, not sure if you were aware of this. This happened. Why don't you come on in? Let's take a look at your portfolio and make sure that you're in the right place for when these changes come through.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we'll take a quick break right now. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with a most amazing panel. We have, of course, a tax attorney, bankers, pension consultants, pair of CPAs. That sounds like a poker game. And we'll be right back.
Reidenauer, Heighton & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Heighton & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hi, I'm Paul and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
And online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is a special Fifth Tuesday with a special edition of The Bottom Line starring Mitch Spean. I use both names this time because you would not give a preference.
That's because I don't have a preference.
Okay, no wonder. Mitch. Okay, now, what was the famous, remember Mitchell, what was his name in Top Gun? Tom Cruise played...
Maverick.
Pete Mitchell.
Pete Mitchell was.
Yeah.
Maverick was the nickname, though.
That's right. Who liked that movie? I loved it.
Great movie.
Wasn't that great? Are you, Susan, or a Tom Cruise fan?
Yeah, but I liked Val Kilmer better. I was an Iceman fan.
Yeah, I see. You know, he's a great actor. I hear a little difficult to get along with on the sets, but he's a phenomenal actor. Maybe underrated.
Very.
Yeah, how about Tom Cruise?
I like Tom Cruise. I like his movies. I'm looking forward to Mission Impossible.
Yeah, another Mission Impossible. Yes. You figure it'd end by now. But it's I thought it self-destruct, but it didn't. Anyway, we're talking with a great panel, tax attorney, bankers, pension consultants, CPAs, on year-end planning. Now, I have a question. Is Jim, you were alluding to the fact that perhaps, you know, one of the questions from your clients are, you know, will they repeal the home mortgage interest deduction and things like that. Now, from a banker's perspective, what are the are there psychological ramifications if that gets repealed? You know, I'm just curious. Even though, you know, people seem to, you know, oh, buy a house and get a deduction, you know, is that so built into the psyche of people's minds? Would that have a psychological impact, do you think?
I think that any time you're talking about people getting less money, there's going to be a psychological impact. But again, you have to just think it all through and look how it's going to affect you. If they were to do something like that, there's going to be benefits elsewhere. And there's always benefits to owning your home. Because yeah. if you're going to stick around for a while, when you retire, that's another chunk. You know, now that everything's balanced out a little bit, values are going to creep back up. And if you're in for the long run, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you're going to make a profit. So there's psychological benefits, yes, but it's not so much that it should prevent you from buying a home or really change all that much how much home you're getting. And again, talk to your tax consultant, and you guys can formulate a way to make it beneficial for yourself.
Well, there's no doubt. I think what it will do is shift the focus, because I think a lot of people, sometimes they just have a focus that isn't very effective. And you know, like people will come to me, or I'm sure to Mitch and Jim, and they'll go, oh, should I spend money to get a tax deduction? I mean, it's just a silly question. I mean, well, do you need the thing you need to spend on, right, Jim? I mean,
right.
I mean, how many times, what do you tell people? Like, well, you got to be kidding. Is that really a question? You know,
right. That's exactly what I tell them. Do you really need what you're going to spend the money on? And I'm sure Mitch has had that kind of question come to him as well.
More than once.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of CPAs, I believe, really focus in on tax, but that's only a slice of the pie. I mean, think of the sound economics, the good business approach to things, and that makes more sense. Then you worry about the tax, right?
Right.
You can integrate it in. So, Mitch, you had a question?
No, I was just going to comment that one of the things that I find when people have asked me, should I pay off my loan or does it help? And I, you know, the way I explain it is that if you're in the 30% bracket, you're still 70 cents better if you don't have to pay the interest. Yes, I mean, the banks don't get their extra, but there's less risk for them, too, by not having it out there. They can just, you know, by using some of the other products. And so I go through that same process when they talk about lease versus own. And it's the same sort of thing with a house. You know, you're going to pay rent if you're not buying a house. So you're going to be paying money anyway. So there's the ownership benefit that you have as well as the deduction as long as it's there.
Yeah, well, the buildup of equity, hopefully you'll come back, appreciation. Those are nice benefits, of course, to a commercial building or a house. And of course, we haven't seen that in the last couple of years, unfortunately. But like I think, Barry, you were saying, I mean, real estate usually will always go up eventually. Mm-hmm. Jim, wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, you do a lot of real estate transactions.
Well, we do a lot of real estate in the firm. And of course, I'm a native of the city here. Mm-hmm. And so I've lived through all the ups and downs of the real estate market here. And that's always been the history of Phoenix and Arizona. It's kind of boom or bust, but eventually, if you can get through the downtimes, you know, the real estate starts to pick up again, and that's just always been the historical perspective. Maybe this is different, and it won't be like that. But I still agree with Barry and you that real estate's going to start, you know, moving up.
Yeah, I think so. And it's a long-term thing. You don't buy real estate, well, unless you flip properties. But basically, you know, for most people, you know, it's a long-term thinking process. And I think that's probably part of the problem for with the collapse of the economy, you know, 3 years ago. And as it continues, is short-term greedy thinking. Who would agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, short-term And that's what it was. It's all about, you know, greed and short term and making the home run, and that's unfortunate. Look what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I definitely would agree with that. We had a lot of individuals in my banking career that used certain bank products for personal greed. I mean, I seen from people using the equity of the home to purchase things that were totally unnecessary as far as, you know, leisure items.
Yeah.
And now they're definitely not in a position that they would like to be at this point in their life.
Oh, you know my brother. Okay. But anyway, all right. He has a radio show in San Diego. I won't mention any further or else he'll get back at me. Hopefully he's not listening. All right. Can you strike that out? We still have 8 second delay, right? Oh, too late. Now, a question I didn't ask Barry and Earl is the same question I asked everyone so thus far is the most common questions. What type of questions are you getting for year-end planning? Does it surround more debt, financial planning? What is it?
It's a little bit of both. We're doing a lot of financial planning. One question that I've been getting a lot is on refinances. Mm. With a lot of the mortgage rates being so low right now and people going into the new year and trying to lower their monthly debts, they're refinancing their 30-year mortgages to more of a short-term mortgage with lower interest rates. So, you know, I've been quite busy working on those.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd agree with Earl on that. We're in the same area up in North Scottsdale, and a lot of people, you know, have equity in their home, and they're coming in, and they're saying, you know, am I better off paying off this $20,000 or $30,000 in credit card debt? And yeah, anytime you can pay down credit card debt, but that's where the discipline and the game plan comes in, because unfortunately, I've seen over the years they pay that down, and they're back in 7 months later. You know, hey, can we do that crazy thing again and pay off? Well, unfortunately, your house didn't appreciate $50,000 since last time you were here. And, you know, it's self-discipline. You can come to any one of us in here and get sound advice, and what we don't know, we're going to find out for you. But if you don't use it responsibly, then it's just not going to do you any good. I mean, you can adjust your diet, but if you don't exercise to supplement that, you're not going to see the results you need. So it's a lot of different things all have to work together.
That's a good point. And we'll start off, actually a new discussion, even though we have about 3 minutes left, but we'll continue, is how much of like a psychologist do you have to be with clients? Because you hit it on the head, behavioral discipline and, you know, people not becoming aware. Who wants to? Earl, looks like you like this one.
You know, I just think it's interesting. You talk about being a psychologist and actually counseling individuals. Well, one of the big things that we do in the bank and in the banking industry, as going back to the topic of debt, is they first have to admit that they're in debt. That is the only way that we can help them, is if you first admit it. So that's tough for us sometimes, just to get them to admit that they're in debt so that we can help them to work out of it.
That's a really good point. You know, it's like going, I guess you see it on TV, the AA meetings, and you have to sort of admit that in front of strangers.
Sure, absolutely.
Do you have like a auditorium full of people?
I am in debt.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people are these days. I think it's all over the place. People that you would never realize. I mean, right, Jim? We and Mitch, we've seen clients that, you know, well, 5-6 years ago, they were rolling. And unfortunately, not so much anymore. It, you know, especially if they're heavily or were heavily invested in real estate, that was a real big problem. Now, psychologists, who wants to go? Who plays psychologist, Susan?
Well, the only reason why I'm thinking about this is I was at a financial seminar about 4 months ago, and one of the main speakers was an extremely successful gentleman who worked in New York for several years, about 35 years as a financial advisor with Merrill Lynch, and then he managed a firm, and he said if he could do it all over again, he said, I wouldn't go to school for finance, which is what I went to school for. I'd go to school and become a psychologist and then talk. He goes, because reality is money is extremely psychological. He goes, how people treat it, what they do with it. And kind of going along to what you all are saying, and the out of debt thing is a big question I get, especially at enrollment meetings, is can I take a loan out of my plan to pay off my debt? Because then at least I'm paying myself interest and not the credit card company.
That's a good point, and we'll continue our discussion when we come back from the break. We have in studio Jim Hythen from Reitnauer, Heiken & Lewis, a great tax attorney from the National Bank of Arizona, Barry McGraw, and Earl Stringfellow. We have Susan Hayek, a pension consultant, Mitch Spean, a great CPA, one of the two best I know, and we'll be right back.
FamilyValuesRadio.net.
1010 KXXT.
Tolleson, Phoenix.